Go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. Life is real easy when you know what to do. Life becomes easier when you know what to do. How many of you know there really is a God? Amen. There really is a God. Amen. He's really out there. You can trust Him. You can depend upon Him. You can live with Him. He's a God that supplies every one of our needs. He makes life better, doesn't He? Peace comes when you know the outcome, and the outcome is you get to win. Amen. And I like this right here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into this any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach and say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The message of the believer needs to be the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen? Amen. And not only are we to preach, but we're to heal the sick. He told all of his disciples to heal the sick, didn't he? He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. He said, freely ye have received, therefore, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter into, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go hence. Look at somebody and say, we need to find a worthy place of ministry. Now, every believer has a ministry. Every believer has a ministry. Every believer has something that God called him to do. And the Bible tells you, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't get out there and waste your stuff. You got to get into the place of prayer. And you want to make an investment with your life. How many of you want to do something? Jesus is really coming. Do you believe that? I'm not looking forward just to growing old and dying. You know, I don't believe that way. I just don't want to get up there and live and just do a little bit here, a little bit there, and then kick the bucket. I don't think I'll see that day. I really don't. And I don't think I'm that ignorant. I don't think I'm that dumb. According to the Word and all these things that are going on today and the things that we see, I believe that Jesus is about to come. Amen. It's time that we hurry up and get busy about the real things of God. Amen. And the only way to get the real things of God is to do exactly what He said to do. And I'm ready to do that. How about you? Amen. Listen, He said, find a worthy place. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive, somebody say receive. Says find a worthy place that you need to stay and abide with in fellowship. That house means that people, look, you're going to be working with. How many know this church is a house? Amen. You know, when you go someplace, God expects people, you can't go into anywhere and do anything. You got to find a house to do it with. A group of people of like faith, of like companionship, like spirit, like anointing, same vision. And you need to get with those that you find to be worthy. Amen. Verse 14, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words. Since they receive you, and hear your words. You got to have a word. You've got to have a word. I believe true ministry is based on a word. Now that word, everybody say logos. Now, the word is not necessarily the things that you, it's one of the things could be the things that you say out of your mouth, you know, but if you really got a word from the Holy Ghost, it's going to be all over your life. It's going to be evidenced in your lifestyle. It's going to be evidenced in your relationship. It's going to be evidenced in the time you spend on the things you spend it with. Some say the word on your life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus came. He was the living Word, and He had a message, didn't He? And we as Christians, we have a message about us. Now listen, they have to receive you, and they also have to receive that word, nor hear your words. When you depart out of that house, shake the dust off of your feet, Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. What's going to be worse than probably a city like San Francisco in the day of judgment, according to Scripture? A city that misses God. A people that reject the word of God, a people that reject the will of God, and those that God sends there to do what he wants to get accomplished, according to Scripture. Do you see the same thing in Scripture? Am I out there in a weird way? He said it will be more tolerable. This weird, now we know we had all kind of junk in Sodom and Gomorrah. We had all kind of mess. And the message today, we have to find the messiest city and preach it down and preach it down. But I tell you what, there's a city that God's after, the city that he sends his word to. Amen. He said, it will, verily I say, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Any city that misses the heart of God, any city that misses the message of God, is a city that's going to have trouble in the day of judgment. The Bible says, he that has an ear to hear, to listen, to hear what the Spirit of God has to say, let him hear. Because it's important. You know why? Because, you know, God sends his word and heals every one of our diseases. He sends his message. He sends his heart. So we need to be open. We need to find out what God is trying to say to our nation. We need to find out what God's trying to say to our city. We need to find out what God's trying to say to our church. And we need to find out what God's trying to say to us. Any city that ignores the word. And I'm not just talking about someone reading some scripture out of the Bible, just throwing it out there off the top of their head. I'm talking about someone that has an impression from the Holy Ghost that's in line with written scripture, in line with the word of God. Some say the logos. Heart, mindset, and intention of God. Somebody that's come out of the place of prayer. Got a vision, got a purpose. So God sends his word. He said, listen, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. What is it talking about? What is it talking about? Listen, when you go out there in the different places, you go out there to different cities, I tell you what, you're going out there as a sheep. And, you know, there's all kind of junk out there. You know what? Somebody said, "Boy, this is a rough place." I'm sure, Pastor, you go out there as you go out and minister in different countries and you go out there and minister different things, you find all kind of oppositions. You preach, not everybody shouts, amen. Sometimes you preach, amen, you stir up devils. Amen. Sometimes you stir up some wolves, you get some people spitfire mad. But you know what? Jesus said it would be that way. Amen. So what are you surprised at? Amen. The result's up to God. The thing you're judged for, amen, is your obedience to the word. He says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as dumb, and beware of men. Some say, look out for people. Beware of men, for they shall deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogue. For ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour that what ye shall speak. Somebody say, when I need to know, I'll know. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And it says, brother shall deliver a brother to death, and father child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be loved by everybody. Everybody, how many got that scripture there? You know, that's what we think. And everybody just going to love you. Everybody just going to think the best about you. You're just going to be the talk of the town. You know, everybody just going to say, you know, we expect, you know, you see the Mrs. America show pageant. Here she comes, Mrs. America. You know, we expect that to be the same way with us. Some say, Jesus said. He said, he's a man. He doesn't lie. He knows all things. He's seen the whole book. He said, before you go, I'm going to tell you there are going to be some people out there that are going to hate you. I'm just reading the Bible tonight. Amen. I'm just reading the Bible. They shall listen, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. Somebody say, thank God. You've got to learn to endure hatred, difficulty, strife, persecution. Some say endure the mess to get God's best. What's the question? What's the solution? What's the answer? How do you get the prize at the end? Enduring all things. You got to learn to endure rejection. You got to learn to endure fear. See, there are a lot of people, we can't hang with anything. The first thing, we find that one person's upset with us, we go crying and lose everything. But you've got to learn to endure all things in order to be saved. Don't let the devil push you anywhere. It says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute, somebody say, when? So say, when? People never think about Christians being persecuted. This is the land of the free, the home of the brave. But if you preach the real gospel, it would start to change some things. They're going to want you to shut up. They don't want to hear everything that Jesus had to say. Jesus loves America, but he wasn't American. He was from a kingdom above our kingdom. World above our world. His ways were higher than our ways. His thoughts were completely different than anything we could ever think. His desires were different. His goals were different. And Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Now, when you go preaching this message of God, you know what? None of this stuff really makes a difference. You know, you're going to ruffle some feathers. And they're going to want to persecute. Listen. When they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, shall not have gone over all the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them that is of his household? Fear them not. Therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Now, when I tell you in the darkness, that speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, that you preach on the housetops. And fear them not which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? The very hairs of your head are numbered, are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Say, don't fear. You have value. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be as they are of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. A lot of worthy stuff around here, isn't it? You got to find people that are worthy to be your friend, and then God's telling you his standards. Talking about acceptance and rejection, you know, being accepted and rejected and all this other stuff. If you want to be accepted of God, embrace God. And don't just embrace his good, embrace all, somebody say sufferings, the sufferings of Christ, being in fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. It says, listen, he that taketh not his cross. Have you identified what his cross is in your life? Have you identified what his cross is? Now, Jesus' cross could represent his ministry, right? His life, his purpose, his call. He prayed about that ministry that the Father had given him. He came to do one thing on the earth, and that was to die. Period, point blank. He came to die that men might be free. He did a lot of things along the way, amen, but his goal and his purpose was to come that he might die and that mankind would be able to live again. Amen. That was his cross. That was his call. That was his purpose. That was his, you know, that was his goal. That was his destiny, the cross. And the Bible teaches that every believer, that every Christian, you know, we're all so worried about our crowns, but we never think about our cross. We never think about our responsibility. We always think about our liberties, but we never really consider our responsibilities. Jesus said, listen, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Didn't the Bible say, teach us that, amen? That he said, if in Scripture says, if he were lifted up from the earth, that he'll draw all men. I believe evangelism, that this next revival that we're about to experience, I believe that the ingredient to revival is the cross. And not just us preaching about what Jesus did, thank God he went to the cross, but us individuals taking that same lead and start demonstrating the cross in our lifestyle. In all that we do, no longer thinking about ourselves so much, but thinking about what he desires. I believe the cross of Christ to the individual is not necessarily death, but it's living the life that God has for you to live. Someone said one time, it's easy to die for God, but it's difficult to live for him. You know, anybody can get up there and say, you know, if I'll chop your head off, that's a split-second decision. You know what? But it's another thing to live every day for God. And as you live every day for God, that's the cross. He died that you might be able to live. I don't believe it's God's desire that anybody hang on a cross. You know, if you die, you're not going to help anybody. You're not a sacrificial lamb. There was only one. I believe the cross that he's talking about right now is living in Christ, living the lifestyle of Christ, living out the word of God on your life. Nobody can tell you what God wants to do with your life. You have to find that out for yourself. You got to find out the will of God for yourself. No matter what the price of that thing is, you got to follow it through and put that first priority in your life. And I believe that is sacrificial lifestyle. I believe that's the cross. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Jesus wants to hang with people that understand what their call is, that understand what their what his voice is over their life, what the plan of God is over their life, even though it might call for some sort of sacrifice. Hallelujah, I want to hang with Jesus. Stick to the cross, amen. Amen. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Wow. The cross is where the place where life begins. The cross is the place where life begins. And we need to get to the point to where, and we talk about the founder of the Church of God in Christ. Got this message at Pentecost right out of Azusa Street. The first worship song that the organized Pentecostal church ever had was one word. One word, and the word was yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. Well, two words. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Somebody say it's easy. It's easy. Yes, Lord. The result's up to him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What is that, yes, Lord? That's the cross. He's faithful to give direction. Are you faithful to follow? Oh, it makes life so much easier when we put all the results on God. When we put all the results on God and blame it all on him and live it all for him. Lord, what do you say? Whatever you say, we'll do it. You know how somebody say, yes, Lord. Everybody say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Everybody say, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say reception, reception. And rejection. We're learning about a lot about relationships and dealing with a lot of stuff. Amen. I don't believe you could ever really receive a person or unless you perceive their call. I don't believe you could ever receive a person unless you perceive their call. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Bible says how you hear something, it'll be measured back to you. How do you get, you know, people come in here all the time and people come into contact with people, different people's lives, and they all get something different when they leave. How many of you ever been there? Amen. You go to one meeting, you're just like blown away by what you heard or what you picked up, and the other person, I didn't get a thing. Because the measure that you hear something, amen, the measure that you meet something is the measure that will be meant back to you. People say all the time, well, Rod, you know, here we go. And you know what? Well, that's all you're going to get is what Rod can do. Amen? But if you get up here in these messages, is somebody talking off the top of their head or whatever it is, or somebody just went to CF&I or whatever else it is, that's all you're going to get is what someone that can hang around some brick walls can get. That's all you get. And there are a lot of people, that's all they ever get. But if you get up there and you see beyond all that stuff and you perceive in your spirit, you pray, you discern, and say, God has more for me than that. I want more than that. These are not words out of somebody's head, because the book is too big to just sit up here and play Russian roulette. It says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. What kind of rewards are you going to receive? Notice that that's why Jesus was constantly asking those people that he was walking with, what does this one say? What do you say? That's why it's important. Bible even tells us, know those that labor among you. Because you don't know them, you're not going to be able to get anything from them. That means more than their phone number, more than their address, amen? More than their resume? No. So you can receive what God has for you. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones. Somebody say little ones.
Little ones.
Say it again, little ones.
Little ones.
Say it one more time, little ones.
Little ones.
Many times people think that little ones are just the little babies in the body. Little baby ones in the church. Well, that one just got saved. That's a little one. They think that's just a little one right there. But studying the word, I didn't find that's not what these little ones are. These little ones are the ones that God sends out there to accomplish a task and accomplish a goal. These little ones would be considered those 12. If you read this thing in context, the little ones that he's talking about here in context are those 12 disciples that he sent out in vulnerability. People that step out in faith to do great things for God. People that step out there on the word in the, you know, lambs in the midst of wolves. So say, little ones. Those are the ones that God's been talking about. Those are the ones he thinks, say, watch out for my little lambs. And you think, we're thinking, well, that little lamb, oh, that must be this one that can't get a message. This hard-headed person just been around the church. Oh, that's a little one. They're not strong in faith. Amen. No, the little ones that are out there that are trying to do the things of God.
Amen.
Those that he sent out. Amen?
Amen?
Be careful messing with the little ones. Notice that it said here that they're worthy of their meat. Different things. It's talking about care of the little ones. According to Scripture, you can study it on your own, take it up with other preachers, take it up with pastors, take it to Bible school, read it yourself. In my definition, in many times when it's talking about little ones, it is talking about fivefold ministry persons or any person sent out there to do what God told them to do. That's the little ones that he's talking about. And it's a dangerous thing to cause a little one to stumble. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water in my name, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Well, God does some things. I believe that from the very core of my spirit. God arrests people. He arrests people. He sends them forth to accomplish his will, to accomplish his plan, and he sends them out there. Have you discerned? The Bible also tells us, listen, be careful. We entertain strangers. Because many times you're entertaining angels unaware. Have you identified the angels in your life? Deep theological principle there. Is he talking about seraphims, cherubims, and all that other stuff? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't think so. Amen. According to Scripture, angel means angelus or messenger or also apostolon or apostle, apostolic person or messenger. There are certain times God will put the right thing in front of your face at the right time, and that's the angel of God with the word of God for you. And that's where a lot of people get confused sometimes, even in the Mormon church, where they consider Jesus not just to be God Almighty, but to be an angel because he was a sent one. When God puts a person in your life, a thing, I don't care who they are, if they're there by the will of God, by the purpose of God, as far as God's, that assignment is angelic. Sent as a messenger, that they might not be a seraphim, cherubim. We know all those things. Amen. But there are many angels that will come in your life. Many angels have stepped across this nation and come into this nation, given the word of God, done what God wanted to do. Many people have come through this place with healing ministries. Amen. We just consider it to be natural people, and that's the will of God in manifestation. I'm not just talking about supernatural people. With the measure you meet, it'll be measured back to you again. Open your eyes. You know, open your heart. Get a spirit of discernment about you. Learn to discern the things of God so you'd be able to get everything that God wants you to get, and you'd be able to have everything God wants you to have. I didn't even want to get into all of that, but we did, but it was good. It was good. If you're into something, you should expect to receive a reward. Go to Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads, you ever heard that one? Me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Is that I'll go with him? I'll go with him, all the way. Is that it? Let's try it again. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to die without seeing the works of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise God. Oh, no, not when he's moving. Not when he's moving by his spirit. Where he leads me, I'm definitely going to follow. And the Lord said, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold. That's Simon Peter, right? And what did he say to Simon Peter? And thou, Simon Peter, what did he say to him? Upon? Is that the one he said, upon this rock I'll build my church? But I'm trying to identify this Simon Peter as the one that God said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Right. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you, has desired to have you. Look at somebody and say, the devil, wants the church. He's mean, isn't he? The devil wants the bride of Christ. Now, isn't that messed up? Isn't that messed up? If you ever want to mess with the man's mind, mess with his bride. And he lets us know straight up, church people. That's why we got to watch out being spotted by the world. We got to watch the spirit of idolatry. We got to watch stuff creeping in. We got to watch all this mess. You know, the devil doesn't want us to be, he wants us to be shifted like sand and all this mess. He wants compromise everywhere. He wants us to wear the ring of Jesus on our finger, amen, but go dating with the devil. That's what the devil's desire is. And the devil wants the church. He would join one. He'd love to get involved with it. He desires, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might be able to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that your faith would not fail. How many want to get in agreement with God's prayer? How are you going to overcome the devil? By acknowledging, confessing. God has already prayed that our faith would not fail. That your faith would not fail. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall crow this day before thou shalt, and thou shalt thrice deny me that thou knewest me. And he said unto him, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, ye lacked nothing. And they said nothing. And he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath a sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this is that is written, must ye yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is not enough. And he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. This is a very important thing to everything God has prophesied, I believe, to this church, to this body, and also to the lives, to our lives. Notice that Jesus warned them, listen, that the devil's going to try to sift. He told that Peter exactly, the devil's going to try to sift you and wear you out. You know, one of them said, Lord, here's two swords. What do we do with this? They said, we want all this stuff. And he said, listen, all those things that in the natural, all that mess, it's not enough. But this is what he did say. Listen. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Why are we to pray? What's that temptation? The temptation is that let the devil wants you. The devil wants the church. He wants your mind. He wants your heart. He wants all of those things. He's going to come at you in any way he can come at to take you, to steal you, and to shift you, and to wear you out. And the place of prayer is the protected place. If you don't have a devotional life, I don't care how many services you make, you don't have your own private devotional life, that own prayer life where you're doing what God tells you to do, I tell you what, you'll succumb to every temptation the devil sends you away. Amen. You know where you sit, I want to be a witness for you, I'll follow you anywhere you go with. I mean, you'll be just like Peter, denying him, cussing like everybody else and carrying on everybody because you don't want to identify with him. And if the church, I'm talking about the church, doesn't join and get to the solitary place and develop that prayer life, that separated, sanctified life, it was inconvenient for them to pray at that time. Everybody wanted to sleep. Amen. But Jesus told them, listen, come with me and pray. Somebody say, pray. I tell you what, there are a lot of people, if they just shut up and prayed, they'd still be here today. I know for a fact, you know, God told us, you know, right, we got that prophetic word right before September 11th. Come and pray. And then we call a meeting. Right before, I mean, a couple of days before September 11th, we got that word said, let's get to the place of prayer. We also said this year, many things are going to happen, cause people to shake. The first of the year, let's just take 31 days and get in service and build ourselves up and do what God wants us to do. And that was really prophetic. You remember we said that? Come on, let's get involved with this. Brother Marty Blackwell from Rhema Bible Church came here and prophesied some things. And he said, listen, if you don't do these things, you won't be here. People laughed and joked at it, but none of them are here. Pray that you don't enter into temptation. Some say, oh, it's not that hard. You're just not preaching all that stuff. It's not that rough. Today's theology, today's thinking process is the easy stuff. Easy does it. Easy does it. Seeker friendly. You know what? But I tell you what, there's some things that are going to pop up that your mind's not going to be able to figure out. You're going to need the spirit of discernment. You're going to need some to be strengthened with might from on high that will only come out of a lifestyle of prayer and sacrifice. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. So many people are withdrawn from God because they refuse to get to a prayer. This is extra stuff. I preach everything I wanted to. I'm just giving some warning. Amen? You want to find God, find a place and pray. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Everybody say, my will. See, that's a very, see, you don't only pick that up in the place of prayer. Today it's all based about what you want. Amen. What do the people want? We preach things that tickles people's ears, makes them feel better. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to have anything. They have no responsibility. As long as they come there and flip a check in the coin, in the offering plate or whatever it is that they do, everything's okay. That's not the heart of the Father. That's not picking up your cross and following Jesus. He said, not as I will. That's Jesus that said that. But your will. Somebody say, your will.
Your will.
Be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. I believe some days are coming in our nation, some days are coming, seasons to come, that unless the church gets to the place of prayer, boy, they are in trouble. And while he yet spake these things, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before him and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayeth thou the Son of God, man, with a kiss, and to get on to all this other stuff. Amen. He was betrayed. But the last thing he said for people to stand was pray. Pray, lest you be tempted. Amen. The last thing he said, you better be praying, lest you're going to be tempted to do the wrong thing. You're going to come under some ungodly influence. You're going to forget who you are. Prayer will preserve us. Amen. Did y'all enjoy that tonight?